Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode of Living Light Outdoors. On the mic with you. It's Sunday morning. Kind of bleary-eyed, a little bit tired, stayed up late. A lot happening in Oklahoma yesterday. For many of you that watch the news or are in our state, know exactly what I'm talking about. It was a pretty wild day, beginning early yesterday morning and continuing on into the wee hours of this morning as we had some pretty severe storms. Please keep those who were affected by these storms in your prayers this morning. I know they are uncovering a great deal of damage south of us. Thankfully, the storms that were aimed at us dissipated before they got here or missed us completely. God just had his hand over us yesterday. We did get some much-needed rain, but, boy, those down south of us have really, really took a brutal beating yesterday. I do understand there are many injured and there are some deaths now as they are finding some people in the rubble. So please keep those towns in your prayers, our state in your prayers, as well as Nebraska and some of the other states over the last few days that have really been beaten up by the weather. I want to share with you a message this morning. And this just kind of came fresh off the cuff yesterday, actually, as I was studying some things. I'd seen a particular social media post that got me into the Word. It happens quite frequently that somebody posted something and it sparks an interest in me, and I went digging. And what I came out with was useless clatter. That's a pretty interesting title for a sermon, right? Useless clatter. I'm not talking about my words and my messages. I'm talking about what God gave me yesterday and what we want to talk about. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul is giving some instructions to those who minister, those who serve. You can't get hung up on the word minister as thinking, oh, well, this is just for the preachers. Actually, the word minister is serve, to serve. So that's what pastors are to do. They are to serve. That's what ministers are to do. They are to serve. It's what we are to do. We are to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we are to serve others according to God's word. Well, of course, this instruction, it does include us all, as we are all called to go into the world, lead people to Jesus through serving him according to his word. I would suggest that maybe you go and read this passage in 1 Timothy chapter 6 in its entirety. I'm going to start in verse 6, but kind of take a look at the context of why Paul is speaking this. But I want to focus on a few details that God has really brought to light inside of me yesterday as I studied this out. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 6, and going through verse 10 to start with, it says, "But godliness actually is a source of great gain when accompanied by contentment, that contentment which comes from a sense of inner confidence based on the sufficiency of God." So godliness actually is a source of great gain when we consider it in a sense of inner confidence based on God's sufficiency. Verse 7 goes on to say, "For we have brought nothing into this world, so it is clear that we cannot take anything out of it either. But if we have food and clothing, with these we should be content," or will be content. Verse 9 says, "But those who are not financially ethical and crave to get rich with a compulsive, greedy longing for wealth." We see this as painted as a great picture today. "These fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction, leading to personal misery." Pursuing financial gain, if we're craving to be rich, if that's our compulsiveness or that's our greedy length and our longing, then it's pretty much going to lead to ruin and destruction, leading to personal misery. Now, this next sermon, or this next verse, is a sermon all within itself. Verse 10, "For the love of money," keep this in mind, "for the love of money," that is, the greedy desire for it and the willingness to gain it unethically, "is a root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves through and through with many arrows." This is a message all in itself. The love of money, this greedy desire and the willingness to gain it in whatever fashion is necessary, even if it's unethical, is the root of all sorts of evil. "And some, by longing for it, by lusting after it, this by the greed of their heart, have wandered away from the faith, from the very precepts of God, from the very truth of God. They've wandered away from that, and by doing so, they have pierced themselves through and through with many sorrows." Paul's is pointing out very simply that godliness provides a form of enrichment in character and worldly riches can supply, pointing out that pursuing things with the wrong motive will cause much trouble. Lost my place here. He then continues his discourse in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 through 16. In verse 11 it says, "But as for you, O man of God, flee from these things. Aim at and pursue righteousness, true goodness, moral conformity to the character of God, godliness, the fear of God, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith in the conflict with evil. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession of faith in the presence of many witnesses." Did you catch this? I really want you to understand this. As followers of Christ, Christians, whatever label you want to wear, godly professing believers is what we should be. Flee these traps. Flee the traps of all of this evil, this conflict that takes place in our life, and especially that chasing money and the love of money. Flee these traps. Pursue righteousness in all life matters. Righteousness simply meaning a right standing with God, being a right standing with God in all matters. Godliness in our character and our morals is what we should pursue. Fear God, walk in faith, love, steadfastness, and genuineness. Fight against evil desires and hold fast to your salvation and your faith in the Lord. These are just simple instructions that Paul's given, but boy, they're so powerful. He continues in verse 13 with this, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and in the presence of Christ Jesus, who made the good confession in his testimony before Pontius Pilate, to keep all his precepts without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 15 goes on to say, "which will bring about in his own time, he who is the blessed and only sovereign, the absolute ruler, the king of those who reign as kings and lord of those who rule as lords. He alone possesses immortality, absolute exemption from death, and lives in an unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power and dominion. Amen. I charge you to keep his precepts." What's a precept? We see this word frequently in the scriptures. I have a hard time remembering the exact definition. But what is a precept? Here Paul's charging us in the presence of God to keep his precepts. Any commandment. A precept is any commandment, any instruction, or order intended as a rule of action or conduct, especially a practical rule guiding behavior. So God's precepts are practical rules that guide our behavior. He calls us out and he labels, he puts our behavior as we should be, our moral conduct right there in front of us. That is a precept. I charge you to keep his precepts. Keep your moral conduct as a general rule. And it's a rule of behavior. God alone is sovereign, and it is he whom we must honor in all of our things of our life. Paul continues with this teaching and instruction, even for those who've obtained wealth. They too need to pay attention. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19 says, "As for the rich in this present world, instruct them not to be conceited and arrogant, nor to set their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly and ceaselessly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, willing to share with others. In this way, storing up for themselves the enduring riches of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life." Oftentimes we see that those who become financially secure, financially stable, independent, they maybe lose the need for the blessings of God. They become self-sufficient. That's a dangerous place to be. I mean, I understand we all would like to be more financially stable. I don't know of anyone who would not like to be there. Some of you may have already achieved this. But the one thing you have to very guard your heart against is becoming self-sufficient when we don't need anything else because we've accomplished everything that we needed to do on our own. Very dangerous place to be. Don't let the enemy take you there. It's a trap, I guarantee you. The problem with this, those who become financially stable or independent seem to lose their need for the Lord, which becomes a very dangerous place to be. And Paul does well to warn us about that right there in that scripture. Now, I saw this on social media post recently, and it was shared by a pastor friend of mine, and it's what actually kind of prompted this whole message. It's what stirred me to begin to gather this material. Paul, this is the post that I read. I'm going to read it just like they wrote it. Paul instructs Timothy in keeping the word that was deposited in him and not get entangled in worldly chatter. I remember hearing a story of a great evangelist, Smith Wigglesworth, who would not allow any form of newspaper or anything not of God in his presence. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine not allowing the local news, the newspaper, social media, anything that might influence you other than what God wants to influence you with in his word? That was Smith Wigglesworth. I will agree, the more news I watch, the worse off I become. I don't know how many friendships I've seen end over politics. I made up my mind not to argue politics. I vote my conscience, and I leave the rest up to God. It doesn't matter who's in the White House from God's perspective. His will be done. I'm not always happy about the election ending, but I realize that God had to allow it, and he will protect us. Even worse are the dangers of social media. How many countless hours occupy time, and how much trouble do Christians get themselves into? It's not social media's fault. It's just a vessel that can be used for good or evil. It's up to us to decide how we use that. He ends it this with this, Father, I ask for wisdom and self-control to help me from being entangled in worldly chatter. I give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, coming back to our message and what prompted this entire message coming out of what he wrote there when he talked about worldly chatter, Paul brings this instruction to a close in a manner worthy of our absolute attention. Listen to how he wraps up this chapter 6 and his thoughts here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20 through 21. O Timothy, this is Paul speaking to his charge Timothy, who is kind of like a spiritual son to him. Timothy, guard and keep safe the deposit of godly truth entrusted to you. Turn away from worldly and godless chatter with its profane empty words, and the contradiction of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, and by doing so have erred. They've missed the mark and strayed from the faith. Then he ends with, grace be with you. I think we could do well to really soak in this complete message of Paul's teaching. Guard the treasure with which you've been entrusted. The treasure of God's word, the treasure of God's peace, the treasure of God's love, the treasure of God's joy, his provision, his deliverance, whatever that may be, guard the treasure to which we've been entrusted. The precepts, remember what the precepts were, those things that control our behavior, the precepts deposited into us in our surrender to the Lord and our growth as we mature spiritually. Turn away from godless chatter. There it is. Turn away from godless chatter. Don't entertain worldly ways that can lead to destruction and the undermining of your very calling. Listen, I don't even participate in the wordage, the joking. Of course, joking is no value to me. I don't have any value in that. I don't take any value in that. Oftentimes, those who know me will actually stop someone from telling a joke because they know the joke might be a little coarse and I might not be interested in it. It's like somebody steps up to protect me. I've had it happen many times when I was working in the shops. But we need to guard ourselves against this godless chatter, because if we entangle ourselves in it, it can very well lead us astray. It can lead us to a place where we fail in the keeping of the precepts that God has given us. Much of what we hear today, even coming out of the pulpits and pastors, is dangerous teaching. Literally. This is a sad statement, but it's a true one. False knowledge, watered down word, teaching to tickle our itching ears. These teachings are in error. They miss the mark. They are missing the target of leading people to Jesus. They're missing the mark of leading people to redemption, to surrender, to repentance. Those words are not used much anymore. The telling of the story of the cross is not used much anymore, yet Jesus told us that we are to pick up our cross daily and follow him if we want to be one of his followers. He didn't leave it out. He made it very bold and plain. Guard your heart. Don't be misled, and don't let godless chatter interfere with what God has for you. I'll close with this. Father, I ask you to give us wisdom and discernment as we journey through these difficult days. Holy Spirit, we give you the room. Lead us in this fight. In Jesus' name, so be it. It doesn't need to be any more complicated than that. Father, lead us. Lead our thoughts. Lead our eyes. Lead our actions. Lead the words that come out of our mouth. God, that we put the Holy Spirit's filter on our face, that even our facial expression come from you. It's a very difficult times that we're in. These are very challenging days. We see the unfolding of the prophetic of the Bible day in and day out around us all the time. Don't give the enemy any more credit than he's due. Don't blame everything on demonic activity. This is the world wrapping up as God said it would. These are the intentions of man that are failing, that are causing destruction time and time again. Our role in this is to stay in God's grace, stay with his precepts, allow his precepts to guide us, the very things that establish who we are in him, keeping our hearts set on him, keeping our eyes on him, keeping our mind and our path leading to Jesus Christ, and taking others with us along the way. It would do no good to hide in a hole until Jesus returns. This is our time to shine. This is our time to be a city on a hill. This is our time to be a light shining in darkness. We don't need useless chatter. We don't need to entangle ourselves in useless chatter. That includes useless arguments on social media. There's no point. I try desperately, kind of like the man that I quoted there, I try desperately not to talk about politics or religion, either one, because there's no win in that. When I'm forced, and occasionally I do step into the fire because of something stupid that somebody wrote, and I can't stand it any longer, and I have to speak truth. It's exactly what I do every time. I speak truth. Not my truth, not my opinion. I speak truth. I use the word of God as the weapon that it was intended. It's offensive. It brings the offense, as in we're going to score the goal here offensively, but it is also brings an offense to those who don't believe in truth. But the truth is what will set you free. All we have to do is rely on the truth and live in it. Our role to stay away from useless chatter is to live in the truth, live in the light of God, and be a light shining into these dark places. Don't entangle ourselves in useless chatter. Take that message, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Go read it for yourself and let God speak into your heart about what it's speaking unto us today. And let it guide us in everything, in every way that we live our lives out according to the word of God. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for following along on our podcast. Ron and I love you. We're praying God's blessing over you. Thank you for your financial support. Thank you for your prayers. We need them both desperately in these times that we are in. The times are uncertain, but God is truth, and we can anchor in him. He is our hope. He is our stay. No matter how wild this world gets around us, our faith in him can hold steadfast. Amen. God bless you guys. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll talk to you again real soon.